Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. 5 months after a digital content NewFronts debut, how is TasteMade doing as a smart TV distributor destination? The executives Evan Bregman and Jay Holzer detail in depth when they join me next from Los Angeles. Also ahead, quick takeaways of the week, and we remember holiday tidbit pioneer Jules Bass. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and many other great podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. 56 degrees at the top of the hour here in New Haven, New York, and it is great to be back after nearly 2 weeks away. We'll tell you why a little later on in the program. It is just so delightful to be back and talking with you and the rest of America and the world listening in at this very hour. We have some wonderful guests for you in the first half of our show, and we invite you to be part of the program as always. How do you do it? You pick up the phone, dial in, and you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. And don't forget, we also have a chat room that you can use. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Let's go now live to Los Angeles to speak with our pair of people from the popular smart TV distributed service, TasteMade, and its other service, TasteMade Home. Joining us live first, the general manager of streaming at TasteMade, Evan Bregman. Evan, welcome to the program. And there you go, Evan. Welcome in.
Thanks for having me.
And joining both of us is the head of programming for TasteMade's smart TV distribution, or some would say streaming, Jay Holzer. Jay, happy to have you with us.
Thanks, Simon. Happy to be here.
Evan, we'll start with you. It's been 5 months since you made your debut at the Digital Content NewFronts. You said we're getting into the television side of things with smart TV sets and smart device and multi-channel bundles. How's it been going so far?
It's been going swimmingly. You know, we've had several channels in the marketplace prior to that NewFronts announcement, which is where we announced TasteMade Home. Four channels here in the U.S., TasteMade, our flagship channel, as well as TasteMade Travel, TasteMade Home, and TasteMade en Español, pretty much all available wherever you find your fast channels and several of the virtual MVPDs as well.
Mm-hmm. And what are you learning, particularly since the digital content NewFront announcement back in May, about what it's like to program a service for television as opposed to doing it on the web?
Well, you know, I think at its core, the sort of North Star goals are quite similar. We're trying to make sure that people spend as much time with us as possible. You know, that develops an attachment to the brand, creates fandom, and then also the more time they spend with us, the more opportunities we have to potentially create a business out of it. And so in a lot of ways, it's similar. Of course, the methodology of doing that is quite different. The length of the content, I think, has a little more rigidity in the streaming space, where we typically program half hours and hours, and in general see that drives more consumption. And then getting somebody into that flow in sort of a lean-back environment has different tactics associated with it than, let's say, having someone, you know, consume a lot of our content in a row on a social platform.
Mm-hmm. Jay, what is the philosophy of TasteMade as a programming service, and how does that dictate what kind of programs you do? We'll get to TasteMade Home, which is the newest network, in a bit. But
yeah,
for, let's say, starting with the primary service, and then we'll get to the Espanol service, the Spanish language television. What is the philosophy behind the service, and how does it dictate what shows you present?
Yeah, we are a millennial-focused publisher, so we're squarely aimed at that demographic. We do on social reach kind of a super wide demographic, Gen Z all the way up through millennials and even older. But on streaming, we're really focused on kind of millennials as the core audience. And what we think makes Tastemade unique is we're hyper-focused on this idea of entertainment plus utility. One of the things that we found from our audience through surveys and just kind of talking and understanding them better is we have a huge percentage of people, over 80% of our audience makes a recipe or does a DIY from Tastemade that they saw on streaming. So we have a really great connection between people watching for entertainment and then taking that entertainment and taking the utility that's baked into it and applying that to their actual lives. So that's really a guiding principle as we think about programming, not just on the food channel, but also on travel, also on home, and as you mentioned, also on Espanol, is really finding programs that have that mix of entertainment plus utility.
And when it comes to the various, and a lot of the, and it's fair to say that all the shows are original, correct?
A lot of them are original. We do work with third parties, like many fast channels do, to license stuff that we think really represents our brand well. But we do have a very kind of robust original programming slate across all channels.
Since you, by the way, Evan, how are you doing in terms of getting cleared by smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles? Are you pretty much universal right now?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, you can ask your smart speaker to play Tastemade, and for the most part, no matter which smart speaker you've got and which service you use or which service is default to your smart TV or your smart device, you'll find us. Yeah, and that's, you know, across any number of OEMs, any number of home devices.
Jay, when it comes to the primary Tastemade TV service, are you finding that you are getting certain shows that have become sort of flagship shows? Like, for example, with Food Network, a show like Chopped, a show like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. More recently, the guys' game show Night Out. Shows mm-hmm. that have really caught on with people as sort of must-watch TV.
Yeah, I think one of the ones that we'd like to point out is a show that is about to start airing. It's 8th season. It's a show called Struggle Meals. And the kind of core concept of the show is the chef behind it, Frankie Salenza, shows viewers ways they can eat kind of cheap and healthy, right? So it's anywhere from $2 to $3 a plate. This is a show that we've been doing for several years, really kind of took off during the pandemic, as you can imagine, right? People were stuck at home needing ways to cook, needing ways to use ingredients in creative ways. And that show not only is really successful for us on our streaming channels, but got recognized with a Daytime Emmy win for Frankie. So we were nominated against chefs from PBS, from Food Network, from Netflix, and we won. And we think that's probably one of the first Emmys to ever win with a native fast channel program. So that's really become one of the signature shows that we have. There's a lot of shows we're super excited about. There's a grilling show we do over the summer called All Up in My Grill with Chef Dale Talde that's become really popular with our audience. And we hope that as the home channel matures, we'll be able to establish kind of key franchises and key IPs around that have that same kind of enduring success and that tune-in drive that we see from shows like Struggle Meals on the flagship channel.
One more question about Struggle Meals. What kind of research is done to come up with every episode having these recipes that you can get or make for under $3 a plate, especially in these inflationary times?
Yeah, for sure. We have a huge team that works on that show, right? And those are ideas that come from Frankie. They come from the culinary producers who have worked on that show now for, in some cases, 3 and 4 years. And that is one of the challenges that we face, right, is now that we are, obviously, if you go to the grocery store, you've noticed that the grocery bill has all gone up. And so for us, this show is even more important, right? And one of the things that we've really pivoted towards a little bit as we've seen costs go up is really this idea of zero waste. And so it was always about ways to kind of eat creatively and eat healthy for budget. But now it's about if you're going to buy a stock of green onions, how to use those green onions in a dish, how to use the root part, the heart of white, the scallion part in a dish, and ways to kind of maximize that grocery bill so that you're using core ingredients across 3 or 4 things. I think one of the upcoming episodes that we're most excited about is he does an entire Thanksgiving dinner for six people for under $40, and that's a multi-course meal, which was kind of an amazing feat. That one will be out on the channel kind of in the weeks leading up to Thanksgiving, but that's always kind of been the philosophy is how to do things inexpensively and creatively. And with the rising food costs, we really leaned into this concept of like zero or very minimal food waste to make the most out of your budget.
TasteMade and what it's doing through smart TV sets and smart TV devices and multi-channel bundles, that's our subject this first half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, our first episode in 2 weeks. Simon Albarn with you live from New River, York. We're joined by TasteMade's General Manager of Streaming, Evan Bregman, and the head of programming for TasteMade's operations on television, Jay Holzer. The both join us live this half hour from L.A. And if you have a question or comment for them, make that phone call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. In case you haven't caught up with the show all about TV's current and future, we're now in our 16th year. We've had some wonderful guests all month long, people like Don Mancini, Mr. Chucky himself. We've had John William Roos, the writer-director of the new Hulu horror movie Grim Cuddy. Chris Covaino, the executive producer of The Mole, doing very well in its revival on Netflix. The co-author of Time Lock, Peter Burke, whose father was one of the top TV writers of the 1970s. And Aaron Siegel, the executive director of the organization Experiments in Opera, which has been doing one of the most unique opera series ever made for television, Everything for Dawn, running on All Arts, the public television channel. And we also brought you the star of that program, Britt Hewitt, as well. If you missed any of those episodes, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Go to our various podcast sites or to our website, tomorrowwilltelevised.onpodium.com. Jay, one more thing about the initial TasteMade service is that Frankie Chalenza, who is the host of Struggle Meals, he's also involved in another show which seems to be picking up steam called Frankie versus the Internet. It's sort of your spin on the competition series that has become so big in food TV right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we think, and you kind of referenced the Food Network and you referenced Guy Fieri, and obviously Frankie and Guy are very different personalities, but we're big believers of finding multiple avenues for talent to connect with consumers, and so Struggle Meals is a really solid choice for us because it provides that core entertainment plus utility. But we are experimenting with some kind of satellite programs that maybe are a little more pure entertainment. Frankie versus the Internet's a good example of that, right? It's a competition show where chefs battle it out to kind of recreate viral internet dishes. And so it's kind of a way for us to connect the streaming audience and the social audience a little bit. And you can imagine that we'll do more around Frankie as we think about how to kind of continue to build him as a big presence on the network and what other formats he might appear in the future.
Now, Evan, earlier this summer, you launched another channel, TasteMade Home. First of all, why? How is it different from other such services, and how is it doing in its early life so far?
Well, early returns have been really great, and we have a fantastic flagship series on that channel launching in November called Weekend Refresh with our host, Tia Mowry. Listen, the mandate for it is pretty simple. I think a lot of home-focused channels and home-focused programming simply doesn't speak to a demographic that is much more likely to be renters, and much less likely to embark upon gigantic home renovations. That doesn't mean that they don't want to make the space their own, of course. And so Weekend Refresh is an excellent sort of thesis statement to that channel. The premise of the show is we've got a host and a designer who descend onto a family's house, and they take a room with a limited budget and limited time frame of only 48 hours. What can you do to transform that room and really make it the centerpiece of your household? It's a project that you can do in a weekend with whatever budget you can kind of scrounge up. And the results have been absolutely fantastic. Families who have really transformed their living space into something that's much more representative of them and much more representative of their lives. And similar to the sort of creative approach that Jay's taken to the flagship channel, these are very attainable things. We're not doing something that you at home can't do on your own. We hope that this inspires you to go out and do it. So, you know, Tastemade Home is meant for that same audience, those millennials who are do-it-yourselfers and want to make the most out of their space. I think over the last couple of years, we've all seen how important our home spaces are. And at the end of the day, there's certainly a hole creatively in the marketplace for programming that speaks to that and, frankly, probably speaks to creative sensibilities of millennials who like a little more color in their lives.
Yeah. Jay, with both Tastemade Home and the initial Tastemade channel, are you finding that your audience would like to come up with ideas for new shows? Do you get a lot of ideas from viewers, and has anything come of that?
We're not really soliciting ideas from viewers so much as we are paying really close attention to the feedback that we get around consumption on the channel and using that to influence how we think about the next show that we make, the next show that we greenlight. That said, on social, we get a ton of data signals, right? So Struggle Meals, a great example. Struggle Meals was actually a show that was born on social. Weekend Refresh, which is the one that Evan was just mentioning as an upcoming show that's going to launch on Tastemade Home, that actually started as a streaming show, or started as a social show. So while we're not soliciting show ideas, we are able to see what resonates really well with a mass audience on social and take the best parts of those ideas and turn those into streaming shows for us. And we think that's a pretty winning formula, and also one that's very unique to Tastemade. There are not a lot of other people who are operating channels in the fast space who have the kind of social reach that we do on Tastemade, who are able to kind of operate in the same way that we do there.
And just to give you a sense of the scale of that, Simon, you know, our Tastemade Home social channels reach over 100 million people every month. They're watching 20 million minutes every month on those social channels. So, like Jay said, it's a really fantastic place to look at what's resonating with a target audience that we know is going to be interested in consuming more in a fast setting.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the Spanish language service, and this has been in the last year, year and a half, we are seeing, because of the capability, the capacity of smart TV sets and devices and multi-channel bundles, we're seeing more Spanish language channels, particularly niche channels, whether they come from mega content services like Televisa, Univision's ViX services, or whether it is the T-Plus that was just launched on Peacock through Telemundo. You have Canela Media in the business. You have Nuestro TV. You've got Americana Radio, which is now a television service, taking their podcasts and making them video fair. What is the Spanish language service like, and what are you learning about the tastes of Spanish language viewers for this kind of programming?
Yeah, I can take that one. I mean, I think so Tastemade's always been a very global company. We have studios across the world in places like Sao Paulo, Brazil, London, Buenos Aires. And so we've had a huge kind of contingent of Tastemade employees who have been creating native Spanish language content for the last 6 or 7 years out of our Buenos Aires studio. And so we both have a Spanish language channel that's distributed via FAST services throughout Latin America, as well as a version of that Spanish language channel that we kind of create bespoke for U.S. Spanish-speaking audiences. One of the obvious things that we've kind of known all along is that the tastes of those audiences, whether that's from a kind of a type of programming standpoint or a dialect of language standpoint, are going to diverge a little bit. Something that resonates really well in Argentina is not necessarily going to resonate to a U.S. Spanish-speaking audience. And so we're very deliberate about kind of creating content that we feel like fits what is working for U.S. Spanish speakers. I think we're one of the few channels that is creating lifestyle original TV-length content for that audience. And so that gives us a huge opportunity to really kind of create some breakout stuff and really delight an audience that I think has been fairly underserved. We are working with a lot of chefs who have really strong followings in Mexico because there's a huge affinity between the Mexican audience and the U.S. Spanish-speaking audience, and we've seen a lot of success there. It's very similar formats, right? We actually have a Spanish-language version of Struggle Meals to kind of come back to that show with a Spanish-speaking host, but that same kind of format repositioned for a Spanish-speaking audience. And that is kind of our approach, right, is we've got all these learnings coming from social, coming from the U.S. streaming channels. How can we take all that and then really understand the individual challenges of the market that we're programming to and create something that really resonates with them? So it's a channel we're super proud of, and we've seen really good traction so far with viewers.
Are any of the Spanish language shows produced in the United States, whether they're where you are in Los Angeles, New York, Texas, Miami, et cetera, et cetera?
We have done Spanish language production. Most of our production is happening in Mexico and in South America, but with almost predominantly Mexican or Mexican-American talent.
Mm-hmm. In a moment, we'll talk with both of our guests about where they see the whole FAST movement going, especially given some of the more recent developments happening in the world of smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles. We have Evan Bregman. He is the general manager of TasteMade's TV outlet streaming, and Jay Holzer, the head of programming for TasteMade's streaming channels. They're available on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles, depending on where you are. They're both joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom, I'm with you live from New York. Impress your camera main minutes with our duo. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. We'll use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our next episode will be 1 week from today. That's November 4th. And then the following Monday, if you want to know what's going on with the holiday movie season at Hallmark Media, we're talking about Hallmark Channel, Hallmark Movies and Mystery, et cetera. Well, we've got the person who is putting all those movies you're going to be seeing over the next 2 months together. Her name is Samantha DiPippo. She is Hallmark Media Senior Vice President of Outlet, and she'll be with us live a week from Monday, November 7th, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Evan, we are in an incredible time for television. We are seeing more and more of these channels, whether on demand, whether programmed like a television network. Now people calling them the FAST channels. We're seeing independent players doing it, women, people of color, et cetera, et cetera. And they just keep on coming. And we have two other things that are going on lately. Number one, we're seeing the smart TV set makers themselves create their own channels, Samsung, Vizio, LG, and we have Roku creating content as well as aggregating channels and so forth. Evan, where do you see this whole trend going?
Well, obviously we're very bullish on the trend towards free viewership in general, whether that's on demand or linear. The FAST marketplace is growing so quickly, not only, like you said, in terms of the number of channels, but also the number of people who are watching, which, as you said, is attracting a lot of interest from a lot of different places. It's probably inevitable that the device manufacturers and kind of the folks who are aggregators would get into this game themselves. They, of course, have a leg up because they have all of the data to be able to look at. And certainly I think there is a place for those owned and operated channels within this large ecosystem. We've also seen that largely most of these aggregators have kind of closed the gate. We've seen several of them with over 200 different channels. And at this point, it seems like they're probably going to be pruning channels rather than adding them over the long term. Which means that we're at a point where, we're moving into kind of a next phase of maturity for this marketplace. In a recessionary environment that we may or may not be going into, and as consumers look at what they're paying for every month, and Netflix sees the same thing that we do, I think there's certainly going to be even more appetite for this type of consumption, and the device manufacturers are just making it easier and easier to click a single button on your remote and be dropped into a linear environment where they know that you're going to be staying for a long time. Our bet is that we are very much in maybe even the warm-up, not even the first inning of this entire thing. And as it begins to mature, the folks who are going to come out on top are folks like TasteMade, who really focus on the brand of the channel, really make our individual channels a place where you as a consumer want to spend time, and where we can differentiate ourselves with original and exclusive content. You're simply not going to be able to get it anywhere else. At the end of the day, that means that when you have a show like Struggle Meals and people start responding to it, There's only one place you can find it, and the brand of the channel travels along with it. So over time, I think, you know, we won't necessarily see the end of single series channels, which clearly work quite well. But I do think that just like in as cable began to mature all those years ago, the folks with the best original content and the strongest brands will end up winning. You know, we're yet to have that kind of I want my MTV moment within FAST, but it's coming. And, you know, we hope that Tastemade is the one to get there.
And that raises a very important point, Jay, which is this. You know, when we heard about Pluto TV and some of these multi-channel bundles, the sense was, oh, it's going to be reruns. It's going to be – but isn't what's happening now showing that if you're going to do rerun channels, bundles will ultimately not work? You've got Tubi now creating original shows. You've got, as I mentioned, Roku's creating original shows. You have other – Apupo is working with Ryan Reynolds, the actor, on a scripted crumbing service. We think next week we're going to get Kiki Palmer's new service, Key TV, which is promising to do scripted and unscripted. Bottom line is original content is king. It's not reruns.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's been an interesting evolution of the space. I think, like, 20 years ago, I don't think anybody would have predicted that a streaming service would be winning Emmys, right? And Netflix did it in 2013 with House of Cards. Handmaid's Tale has won a ton. And I think what we've seen is that these kind of new disruptor services eventually become the norm. And I think that's what's going to happen with FAST, and that's what's going to happen with programming in kind of these ad-supported models. I think in the next 10 years, we're going to see shows that can stand alongside what we traditionally thought were the pinnacles of kind of premium streaming start to exist in ad-supported models. And as Evan said, like, we hope Tastemade is right there for it, but we're bullish and we're huge champions of the whole space. So we're excited about the amount of money that people are investing to try to bring great breakthrough programming to free ad-supported audiences.
Yeah. Before we go, I definitely wanted to touch on this. You know, believe it or not, it was 3 years ago that Food Network Kitchen started, which was originally for Amazon. Roku, I believe, is taking it. Comcast is taking it. That's the idea of interactive cooking classes live that you can take, the ability to order products and services through your television set. We know that every smart TV device now is artificial intelligence built in, where you can use Siri, Alexa, Google Assistant to order products and services. We've got Roku now with Walmart. They were doing their thing at Adweek New York last week. Where does interactivity stand in the future of Tastemade?
Honestly, I think that is the core of where we're going here. You know, I mentioned that on streaming, our goal is very similar to the goal on our huge and successful social presence, which is just get people to spend more time with us. At the end of the day, why is that the goal? Well, like I said, we're trying to make sure that they develop an affinity for the brand, that they become fans of the brand. And so our service, Tastemade Plus, is a subscription platform that, you know, is available on your mobile phone and on CTV, as well as on a desktop. There you can find over 10,000 recipes that have been featured across all of our different modes of content, shows that we make, stuff that we put out on social, along with all of our content ad-free. You know, it's a place where people who are truly fans of Tastemade can come and gather together as a community and also, you know, actually interact with the content that you're seeing. Jay mentioned that our entire goal here is to really get people inspired and get them actually up cooking, making projects, taking that trip, planning that trip. And so we provide them the tools to do it. Part of what already we've got integrated into our platform is, you know, take these ingredients and add them to your Walmart cart. So we believe strongly in the interactivity, and we think that content is an excellent gateway to be able to get there.
Yeah. And one final question. You know, earlier this year we talked with James Ellis Mitchell, the former local news correspondent at WCBS-TV, Headline News. She now has her own network dealing with the whole vegan side of things. Where does Tastemade stand on, the whole vegan side of things, both vegan living and vegan food? And secondly, are you getting a lot of advertising from the you know, the soy milk providers and other vegan food and or vegan home, home living products.
Yeah, and I think we've always strived to create content that is approachable for all audiences. So we've done vegan shows in the past. Our approach with those shows has always been, let's create vegan cooking shows, but not be overly, and preachy maybe isn't the right word, but it's meatless and it's plant-based is kind of how we would describe it, right? I think there's obviously a huge benefit to everybody to introduce less meat into their diet, and so we're fully on board with that. We do have, among our advertisers, we do have some of the categories that you just mentioned, right, like the kind of the alt milks, the kind of meatless products, the Beyonds, et cetera. We don't do a vegan-specific show right now, but we do run plenty of meatless recipes, and those continue to be super popular with our audience.
Case Made. Four channels currently, one Spanish language, there's Tastemade, Tastemade Home, and there's also Tastemade Plus 2, and they're all available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, as well as multi-channel bundles near you. For more details about the content and the programming online, here's where you go, www.tastemade.com. That's www.tastemade.com. Again, available on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and multi-channel bundles. Evan Bregman, Jay Holder, thank you both very, very much for coming on. I have a hunch we'll be hearing a lot more from you and your organization in the months and years ahead.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Simon.
It's been a pleasure to have you both on. Gentlemen, take care. Have a great, great weekend.
You too.
You too.
Evan Bregman and Jay Holder joining us live from Tastemade in Los Angeles. When we come back, why we have not been around most of the last 2 weeks, where we go from here. We have our Takeaway of the Week section, our regular Friday feature, but in a very different form. And we'll also pay tribute to one of the great pioneers of KidVid, especially holiday KidVid. His name was Jules Bass. And with his late, great partner, Arthur Rankin Jr., they gave us some of the best holiday programming specials in television history, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and others. We'll get to all that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com, together reaching over 75 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, every weekday morning on BTR, it's Jay King and his crew on Kings in the Morning. Check them out, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget, best BTR 24/7 at youtube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon, I'm with you live from New York. Rick Webb, our good friend from Philadelphia, has joined our conversation. And if you want to get involved, give us a call, 646-652-2906. We'll use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have been doing this program for more than 15 years, and pretty much without stopping, from 2007 when we were on NowLive.com, and then when the week after we were taken off that because of that service ending its run, Blog Talk Radio, and then more recently, simulcast with Speaker and TuneIn Radio. And this year, we're getting a lot of wonderful podcast destinations from Google Podcasts to Amazon Music to Spotify, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we have been with you thick and thin, usually with two episodes a week, sometimes with three. And sometimes, when you least expect it, as Alan Funt used to say, introducing Candid Camera, life will throw a curveball at you. And life threw a curveball at me 2 weeks ago today. And it's a curveball that I am still recovering from. I'm not going to be gory in the details. I don't want to gross you out. Let me just put it this way. For the last 2 weeks, I've been dealing with a personal health matter, a urinary tract infection. It impacted my bodily functions. I had to go twice to an emergency room. A week ago Monday, I had to go into my urologist. I had to get a catheter for the first time put into one of my private parts. It's not fun to have. Nobody should ever go through this. And then the next day, I learned, oh boy, I lost a lot of blood, and it was time to go to the hospital. And I did the Mount Sinai Hospital, Beth Israel, with a wonderful paramedic crew. And it was there until this past Monday, and I've been home and getting better ever since. I had to have two blood transfusions, first time ever in my life, back-to-back, overnight, a week ago. And it's been a humbling experience. And first of all, I want to thank everybody at Mount Sinai and Beth Israel who hung in with me, my family, mom and dad, and my brother Gary and sister Stephanie, and who are just playing great. It's great to be back home. It's great to be back doing the show again. Hopefully, to forward the story, on Monday, I hope to have the whole situation rectified, get back to normal, and we will be on this next Friday, 1 week from today, and then hopefully, everybody's fingers crossed, we will have our twice-a-week format back. By the way, just to let you know, we will, a week from Monday, we will bring back our regular features like news notes, and we will bring back the classic trivia question. By the way, we're keeping the question open, our prize is still in play, and we'll do that, assuming everything goes great, a week from Monday. All right? So I want to take a moment also to thank all of you out there. I've been doing some Facebook and Twitter updates on my situation the last 4 days. I've had wonderful feedback from people I know from the TV industry, from ballroom dancing, from flamenco, from Landmark, worldwide, et cetera, et cetera. So to all of you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep the thoughts and prayers coming. I really deeply appreciate you and very, very much. And we're licking this. We are licking this. That's my deal. And let's stay with it, okay? And we'll make sure that we make that happen. Well, now it's time for our regular Friday feature. We call it the takeaway of the week. And we're going to do something a little different today. Rather than do one takeaway of the week, because I've had to catch up on a lot of things over the course of this past week since coming back home from the hospital, we're going to do quick takes, 5 of them. All of them, I think, are very important takeaways impacting the future of television. Takeaway number one, we're now 2 months into the broadcast network season, and anybody who thinks there's a rebound, not in the cards. So far, no new hit show among the newcomers. And more importantly, believe it or not, a year or two ago, the highest rated shows, apart from Sunday Night Football, NCIS, et cetera, would draw over 10 million viewers live when it was presented on CBS. Now, they can't even reach 8 million. That's right. Not one new show is reaching more than 8 million people. And in fact, many of the ratings have gone down. I repeat, down. Abbott Elementary, which I hope would have gotten a buzz off the Emmy Awards that it won, it is still ranked number 2, number 3 in the time period on ABC Wednesday nights. The viewership has gone down. Once again, it is showing that the mega content services are in command. That's where the action is at. Whether it is Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Peacock, HBO Max, Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, et cetera, et cetera. Can it change? We'll see. But right now, it looks like none of the newcomers, whether it's Alaska Daily on ABC, whether it is Fire Country on CBS, which I understand is their highest rated new show so far, nobody is really breaking ground in terms of that 6 to 8 million, which now seems to be sort of where the best shows in terms of the highest rated shows are. And thank God for Paramount Plus in the case of CBS or Peacock in the case of NBC or whatever, because that's how more and more people are watching the shows. They're not watching them live. And that's because, again, the variety of original content that people are finding on mega content services on and on the fast-growing number of these fast channels like the Taste Made Services, whose people we had on in our first half hour. Second takeaway, I can't believe that this story that I'm about to tell you got zip on CNBC, on nightly news, et cetera, and that is the brand new Apple TV upgrade. That's the Apple TV device, where now you can not only get Apple TV Plus through your box, but now you can get Apple Arcade and play video games through your television set, Apple Fitness Plus, and use that on your TV set as well, interactive fitness services, and a whole lot more, and smart services, all smart home services as well. This is a very big deal for Apple TV. It shows that maybe finally, Apple is getting the word that, hey, interactive TV is a big part of that. We are in the era of plentiful TV, interactive TV, smart TV, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm surprised that Apple has not talked about, did not talk about this last night in their conference call. I'm surprised that the tech press has basically bypassed this story. This is a huge deal. If you can get the press release on Business Wire, look at that press release. This is a big deal for Apple. And the Apple device, incidentally, I believe it now costs $125. I think this is a big, huge story. And something else, too. I think by the end of the year, Apple TV Plus will stop being just a non-commercial service. You will see them think advertising the way that practically every other mega content service is doing. It's very clear that that's where the action is going, where it is. If you want a Netflix or an Apple or a Hulu or Amazon Freevee, HBO Max, it's the non-commercial version or the version with 3 to 5 minutes per hour of ads, and the ad breaks are no longer than 90 seconds. I would love to see Apple TV talk more about this. I think they should do a full-fledged TV campaign about the box. It's time for Apple TV's box to finally get its due. And to the trade press out there and the business press and the businesses networks, stop bypassing smart TV set and smart TV device developments. Stop it. You are not doing it. You are doing a disservice to your viewers by not talking about such subjects as Samsung, Vizio, LG launching new television networks on an exclusive basis, things like TasteMade, things like Roku developing its own own plumbing, and so on and so forth. Stop it. Time to talk about this. It really is amazing to me that over the last decade, smart TV sets, smart devices have become the way to watch and use television, and it's been done for the most part with word of mouth, not with TV campaigns, and certainly not with TV coverage. And I think, frankly, it's a black mark on television journalism that that these products are not getting the due they ought to be getting. And again, Tim Cook, you got to get on the ball with talking about Apple. If you want people to buy this new Apple TV device, you got to talk about it, and you got to do an ad campaign for it, and you got to really get out there and do it, and not just you know throw it to the side on your next press conference. Quick take number three. If you haven't heard, two television series have gotten a second life. Girls 5 Eva, the show on Peacock, wonderful series. Merit Scardino was on this program. It is coming back for a third season on Netflix. That's right. Peacock brushed it off. Netflix picked it up. Great move for Netflix. I think this is a winner. I think the show is a winner. Merit Scardino, the cast, the crew, everybody has done a great job with it. This show got zip publicity with Peacock, despite the critical acclaim. I'm very thrilled that TV's Top 5 really talked about this a lot on their show today with Leslie Goldberg and Daniel Feinberg. And that's not the only great thing. Roku, remember Chad, TBS's acclaimed comedy? Remember that the second season was done and was pulled off on last minute as part of the whole Warner Brothers Discovery parent, budget cutting? Well, Chad is going on Roku. That second season, you will be able to see it very soon on Roku. This is one of the first big moves of Charlie Collier, the former Fox and AMC Network programmer, now involved with Roku. Another great move. I liked Chad the first season. I heard the second season even better. Roku is making its mark, folks. They are becoming a major original content player. And by the way, if you didn't see Jeopardy last night, really, really great Daniel Radcliffe category, and he mentioned his performance as Weird Al Yankovic, which is coming up next month. We're going to try to get the producers of this. I really think this is a big, big move for Roku. I see Weird, the Al Yankovic biography with Radcliffe in the title role. I think it's going to get a lot of Emmy nominations next year. So good move on Girls 5 Eva. Good move with Netflix for that. Good move with Roku by picking up the second season of Chad and maybe opening up the door to continue that series after that. Quick takeaway number four. At the start of the year, Amazon put on a program that was very special called As They See Us, from Jason Katzen's of Parenthood fame and Friday Night Lights fame. It was a very personal show to do about autistic teens and 20-somethings. Marvelously done, wonderfully scripted, wonderfully put together. And last night, Amazon canceled the show after a single season. And they did zip. In one of the few, in a year where Amazon, I think, has done some great things with Freevee, The Lord of the Rings, to take this show off after one season and really not give it the love it should have gotten off the bat is an outrage. Somebody needs to pick this show up. Disney Plus, Netflix, Apple TV Plus, Crackle, somebody pick this program up, give it another shot, and give it a second season. This show deserves it. The critics loved the show. It was getting the audience, despite the lack of publicity, despite the lack of attention. This show deserves a second chance and a second season. Somebody pick this show up. I know the folks at Respectability are very angry with Amazon, and I'm very happy Leslie Goldberg and Daniel Feinberg, again on TV's Top 5 this morning for the Hollywood Reporter, their great podcast, had a lot to say about this. Somebody out there, please listen and pick this show up and give it a second season. Jason Katzen deserves this. He's a wonderful producer. This is a very personal project for him. It was very well done. I think this show can fly, and it's got to get a new home. ASAP. And then there is Disney Plus, which, by the way, I think would be great a home for As They See Us. If you haven't heard, starting next year, they will become the new home in the United States and for most of the world beyond England for Doctor Who. Great, great move by Disney Plus. Yes, I know that the BBC America people are very disappointed about this. This is a great fit for Disney Plus, a sensational fit. Longest-running show in its genre. It's a show the whole family can watch. It's a great, great show. I think Disney Plus has a steal of a deal. This is one of the great steals of the year, picking this show up. One more final takeaway, and it happened earlier today. I want to tell you about a woman by the name of Virginia. For the last 20 years, Virginia has tried to become a contestant on the longest-running game show in TV history, The Price is Right. From 2002 on, she was on that line at Television City in Hollywood, the Bob Barker studio, to get on the air and become a contestant. Five times over the last 20 years, five times, she made it into the audience, was not picked. On today's episode on CBS, which I hope you can see on Paramount Plus, or maybe see the highlights on YouTube, finally, after 20 years, Virginia was picked as a contestant on The Price is Right in the first half hour. She was the second contestant picked, first contestant picked after the initial four. When you saw her and her friends just crowd around her, you could tell the camera wasn't lying. She was crying. A lot of people in the audience were just hysterical for her, and wonderfully so. And it was a wonderful moment. And thank goodness that was not the end of the moment. And she said, you know, 20 years, I've waited for this, so on and so forth and so on. And if that was going to be all, it would have been a great story. And then she won her one-bid item, and she got on stage with Drew Carey. And she got the chance to play the bargain game for two trips, one for Florida. By the way, the show was Saltine Island. This was one of the islands that was hard hit by Hurricane Ian. I'm sure the show was taped beforehand. The other one was a trip to Mackinac Island in Michigan. I'm thrilled to tell you that she won. She played the bargain game. She hit it big. She has $16,000 in vacation time coming her way. And when she won, the camera shot was priceless. Yes, game shows can oftentimes be a eye-opener into people's lives. And even though Virginia did not make the showcase, she made the showcase showdown, did not make the showcase at the end of today's program, she was the star of the show today. Congratulations, Virginia. Thanks for hanging in there. You gave us all a wonderful moment today. It's one of my favorite takeaways of the week. It made my day. If you saw the show, I hope it made your day too. And it made Virginia's day after 20 years. It's a wonderful story. I will bet you that not one person on that studio had their eyes dry when she won that bargain game. Not one person. Whether it was Evelyn Waffle, the executive producer, we've had on this show a couple years ago when she became the first female executive producer of Price is Right, 3 years ago. The camera people, Drew, George Gray, Amber Lancaster, James O'Halloran, the models. I don't think there was a dry eye in the house. You better believe that camera doesn't lie. It was just marvelous. And just goes to show you that game shows have not lost their way when it comes to fulfilling people's dreams. And when you get a moment like that, it's really great. Earlier this week, the television, we are losing a lot of great people this year in the world of television. A number of weeks ago, we lost the founder of Eyewitness News, Al Primo, who was a guest on this program when we were live from New York University's Stern School of Business, the creator of Eyewitness News and later Teen Kids News. We're coming on the holiday season, and it's hard to believe that 60 years ago, 70 years ago, in the early 1960s, there was really no such thing as a holiday television special. And then along came a pair of very talented people named Arthur Rankin Jr. and Jules Bass. And with a company called Videocraft, later Rankin Bass, they created some wonderful, entertaining, inspiring children's family programming. And they decided, we're going to plunge in and do a holiday special. And that special was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And working with great talent like Burl Ives and wonderful puppet animators and Johnny Marks, the man who wrote the song, who composed the original score, and a marvelous musical man named Maury Laws, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sponsored by General Electric, became a television classic on NBC. And it was the first of what turned out to be a magnificent line of holiday specials, both with puppet animation and with traditional cell animation. Frosty the Snowman, The Little Drummer Boy, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, The Year Without a Santa Claus, Rudolph's Shiny New Year. Every single one a hit. And many of them will still be run one way or another on this holiday season ahead. Arthur Rankin Jr. passed away in 2014 at the age of 89, and earlier this week, Jules Bass passed away at the same age. And we should point out that Rankin Bass was not only great at doing fun, wonderful, inspirational, great for the family holiday specials, they also did some good animated series too. The New Adventures of Pinocchio was their first one. The special Return to Oz, part of NBC's Children's Theater in the early 1960s. The Jackson 5 series ran two seasons on Saturday mornings on ABC with some of the most innovative animation at the time. And a wonderful underrated show called Kid Power, based on the great Maury Turner comic strip, We Kids. Ahead of its time show, ran two seasons also. Arthur Rankin Jr. and Jules Bass made a whale of a team. And in return, they gave us timeless after timeless holiday special that will be their legacy and this medium's legacy for generations and decades to come. And I'll bet you that right now, Jules and Arthur are reunited in heaven, and boy, do they have a great plate of programming up their sleeve for everyone up there. Maybe, just maybe, we'll get a taste of it down here, too. I really hope so. Thank you, Jules. Thank you, Arthur Rankin, Jr., for a very grateful television medium. Again, I want to thank our guests, Evan Bregman and Jay Holtz from Casemate, for joining us today on Tomorrow Be Televised. Thank all of you for tuning in. We'll be back 1 week from today. Can't tell you who our guests will be. We have a couple possibilities. And then, if all works great, we'll be back to our regular twice-a-week schedule, Monday and Friday, 1 week from Monday, November 7th. And one of our guests will be from Hallmark Media, the Senior Vice President of Development, who's working on all their great holiday movies coming your way over the next few months, Samantha DiPippo. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and check out our podcasts throughout the weekend. They're available on Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iTunes, iHeartRadio Podcast Network, podbuy.com, and many other great podcast destinations, as well as our homepage, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think about our show today? And what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it is going? Love to hear from you. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name where you're emailing from. Hopefully a week from Monday, we'll be back with our classic trivia question. Same question, same prize in play. Use that, simonapple04@yahoo.com, to get your entry in, and let's hope we can get our newest classic trivia winner in lickety-split fashion. So we'd love to hear from you. Don't forget, you can also follow me on Facebook and on Twitter and on LinkedIn, too. Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum. Twitter at UBC Simon WT. However you follow us, we follow you back. We do respond to what you have to say within 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever before. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not affiliated with the Blog Talk Radio or other services of this program. Andy Toews, BTR General Manager, Jay Sonnenberg, Head of Content. Website services by On Podium, the Internet's big new podcast outpost. Guitarist Bakus is our web coordinator. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a fantastic weekend. Spend some if you can with those you love. They'll really appreciate for that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We will be back a week from today, November 4th, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, Tune Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. Whatever you have to do now and then, please make it safe, make it great. And if something is hitting you in the face that needs to get treated, don't wait. Get treated. And if you haven't been vaccinated, see your doctor, check the medical records, check all the alternatives to shots and boosters, and then make a great choice, your choice. Again, it's wonderful to be back, and let's keep it going. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.